What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Thursday, July 3rd, 2025. We saw a getaway day at Lone Depot Park this afternoon, at least for Minnesota, but it's also a getaway day for me and the show. That's why I'm going to crack open a, not a beer. No, I don't drink beer. Crack open a Celsius. It's not like I'm even on camera right now, but I just truly enjoy having a Celsius while I do the show. That's watermelon. I'm a big watermelon fan. I like the watermelon Celsius and the strawberry guava. It's got to be sparkling. Those are the best ones. Maybe you get them at Publix, gas station, whatever it is. I order mine off of Amazon. And I'm not saying that because they're a sponsor or anything. I just really enjoy Celsius. I was on a Monster kick, and now I'm on a Celsius kick, and it's getaway day. So you should be cracking something open and relaxing. Just make sure, if you're driving right now, it's a soda or a Celsius, some type of energy drink, and not something else. I don't want you getting in trouble. I don't want anyone getting hurt. None of that. But once you get home, maybe you're on your way home right now because your boss, for once, if you have a boss, they were like, all right, look, 4th of July tomorrow, long holiday weekend. Just get on out of here. Because if you're at the office right now, what the heck are you doing? The company is just wasting money because you're not getting any production. They're not getting any out of you. Forget about it. Middle of the afternoon. Maybe you're headed out of town later tonight, tomorrow, going to the airport. I am going to the airport on Saturday. I really could have gone tonight. I could go tomorrow. But I'm the type where I don't like going somewhere if I don't have anything to do. Like if there's no reason for me to go. So why, if I don't have something until Sunday, why get there so early? Especially when it's Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. I know we have Vegas in our own backyard with the Hard Rock. We have everything at the Hard Rock now. There's nothing that is not at the Hard Rock like that you would find in Vegas. Craps, roulette, you got it all. The sports book, sports betting, all of that. So there's no real reason to go to Vegas unless there is a monster poker tournament. And I know there's the World Series going on. But this weekend, I am going to play in a monster poker tournament. It's a $2 million mystery bounty tournament. Costs $1,600 to get in. And I'm going to play in it on Sunday. So I'm like, why get there Thursday night? Why be there all day Friday? Why be there all day Saturday? I'm not even taking the morning flight on Saturday because I'm just the type where, especially in Vegas, I don't want to be there for longer than I have to. I'm not going outside. It's like 105 or 110 degrees. I know it's dry heat, but it's still hot as heck. So what am I going to do? You're just going to gamble all day? You're going to play slot machines? Like, no, it's a business trip for me. So I get into Vegas Saturday late evening. Actually, early evening I get in. Late evening Miami time, but Vegas time, no. And then I'll be there. I'll have a nice dinner on Saturday night. Sunday, I'll play the tournament. If I qualify, then I play on Monday. If I don't qualify, then I leave. I told you, I always book like multiple flights and options. So I'm ready to leave on Monday if I don't qualify. I'm ready to leave on Tuesday if I do qualify. And hopefully my bag will be heavier coming back with a lot of cash. The only issue I'm going to have in Vegas, maybe this is a good problem to have, I don't know, but I'm going to have to find a sports book that will take certain player props that I play with Hard Rock Bet. I got to make sure I find that Saturday when I arrive. I know they have some online sports books there, but I don't have any, like, anything built up with any of those books. So I don't know what kind of limits I'm going to have as like a starter. Maybe I should get a hold, actually. I'm talking out loud, but maybe this is good for some of you as well in the audience, because I know some of you are my close friends on Instagram and you're high rollers, and maybe you do go to Vegas. Maybe I should contact the Hard Rock like they do with other things, and they have a connection out in Vegas that can set me up. I think that's a good idea, because I still got to post my wagers for my close friends. I don't know what app I'm going to use, but I can't use the Hard Rock app. So I got to find something while I'm over there. Like I said, maybe that's a good problem to have. I'm not sure, but I got to have my action. When I think I've got something that is looking really good, I got to make sure I get it. I'm talking about wagers. I'm not going to bet on the hot dog contest, because what are you going to do? Take Joey Chestnut, lay $2,500 to win $100? I'm sure Joey Chestnut will win, but I'm not wagering on the hot dog contest. I haven't looked at the odds other than knowing that Joey was $2,500, minus $2,500. I don't know what the total dogs eaten is going to be. I'm still a fan of watching the hot dog contest. I just can't stand it when they dip the bun in the water. That is absolutely gross. Ugh. Can't imagine being first row for the hot dog contest. I was talking to Marlins man yesterday, because he invited me to go to the game this afternoon, which started at 12. It was like way too early. He said, "Hey, I got 12 seats right behind home plate. Like, who do you want to take?" And I said, "Look, the game is at noon. I have a show to do. 3 o'clock. It's just, there's too much pressure involved here. Too many things happening. I can't do it." So I didn't go. I'm here. He was there. But I told him, I said, "You go to all of these events. You're always right there. First row, second row, third row. You're right by the action." I said, "Why don't you one time, maybe this year, why don't you go to Coney Island? Why don't you stand first row at the hot dog contest?" And the reason he said he wasn't going to do that is because it's too hot and you've got to stand there for so many hours before it begins. That makes a lot of sense. Plus, there's no, like, buffet or anything, like the Yankees Legends Buffet. It's just, it's hot, it's nasty, and you might get hot dog or bun vomit on you. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, but I just thought it would be a cool idea. I wouldn't do it. That's why I was telling him to go. There's no way I would stand out there to watch people eat hot dogs. I'd rather just be in my house with the AC, have some action on during the day. Wimbledon's going on. We'll have baseball. We'll have people eating hot dogs. It's the 4th of July. Have a barbecue. Have a hamburger, whether it's being cooked outside or inside or by a restaurant. Just enjoy yourself tomorrow. I know some people have to work because stores, some of them will be open. Places have to operate. But a lot of you have the holiday off, and you'll spend some time with the family, which is supposed to be a good thing. Maybe you'll go watch some fireworks tomorrow night. if you light any fireworks off in the street in your neighborhood, you're the one doing it. Just please be careful. Be smart. I don't know how many times I have to say that on this show, but just don't be stupid. We've had stupid things happen before, and then you turn into a
Slater scoop.
And I know that there's athletes that listen to this show, so I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to athletes. I'm talking to non-athletes. I think that covers everybody, right? If I say athletes and non-athletes, who would be left? Thankfully, we have a lot left here on this show to talk about, not just the 4th of July. Last night, I went to Flanagan's with a friend of mine. I was watching the Marlins game, and I just couldn't believe. I mean, you got an 8-game winning streak, and the way they lost last night, could have been a tie game, and maybe they win it. That was really frustrating with the umpire. But at least we're talking Marlins baseball. The Panthers, they re-signed essentially everyone, which is incredible. They are building a dynasty. And they're also holding dance team auditions. I tweeted that out earlier today. And I said, if you're applying to be part of the Panthers dance team, it's probably a good idea to make sure you're available through late June. Because now, you got to block off your schedule. It's like, okay. Normally, for 25 years, it's like, okay, you're done with hockey in early April. You can go on vacation. Now it's all April, all May, and almost all of June. And that is not a complaint. I will take that every year. Leading us right in to football season. We had the Dolphins make some moves this week, trading Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. They get Minka Fitzpatrick. They also get Darren Waller. If I said, welcome to the show, it's July 3rd, 2018, that would be fantastic. But it's 2025. Getting Darren Waller in 2025 is not the same. And then what else? We're waiting for the Miami Heat to do something. They let Duncan Robinson walk, which was, I believe, a smart move. But what about big moves? We're not really seeing any in the NBA. We've had a lot of hockey talk. We haven't had a whole lot of basketball talk. But it's better than what this time of the year is supposed to be. This is known as like the dead time of the sports calendar. Early July. The Stanley Cup ended. The NBA Finals, they ended. We haven't gotten to football training camp yet. But it is not a dead time here. We're talking moves, moves, and moves. The Panthers making really good moves. The Miami Heat making some type of move. The Miami Dolphins seem to be making desperate moves. And the Marlins, they're making moves in the standings. So it's moves, moves, moves instead of just games, games, and games. Okay, I have a lot to get to. I'm not going to be with you tomorrow for the holiday. And I am taking a long weekend, so I'm not going to be with you Monday and Tuesday either. I told you I'm going to play in a tournament in Vegas. I am taking a veteran holiday weekend, not a rookie holiday weekend, which is, hey, I got the holiday off and I got the weekend off. You're supposed to have the holiday off. You got to get a couple extra days in there. That's what I do. But after doing this show for 17 plus years, I feel like if you do anything for 17 plus years, you deserve a real long holiday weekend. And that's what I'm going to take. But now I'm here and I got things to say. I got a Celsius to my left. I got a pen in my hand. I got papers. I got screens. I got a lot going on over here. And there's a lot going on in South Florida sports, even though the Marlins are the only one on the playing surface. So it's time to discuss what I've prepared for today, but I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
As I'm just about to speak, I see another Barry Jackson tweet. I'm a fan of Barry. Like, I like Barry. He's a funny person. He's smart. He's everywhere. But the amount of Miami Heat tweets that he has sent out in the past 10 to 14 days, oh my gosh. It's crazy. Like, he should get banned for 24 hours for so much bandwidth. The Miami Heat, they're being talked about locally, but they're really not creating any buzz. That's my main takeaway from all this. They got Florida Sports Buzz commenting, but they don't have any real buzz. You look at the first few days of NBA free agency, at least here in South Florida, if you see what Heat fans are saying, if you talk to any Heat fans, right now, they're just in a place of, like, meh. A whole lot of meh. Meaning, what are we doing? We're just sitting here. I really don't know what to think. I'm not sure what Pat Riley's thinking. Nobody's feeling it. You might say the Miami Heat are running it back. Pat Riley said he doesn't plan to run it back. And I don't think necessarily they are. When you look at the Heat, and I mentioned this yesterday, they only have two players left from that bubble team, and it's Bam and Tyler. Last year, we all know they lost Jimmy Butler. They had a down season. Eric Spoelstra looked out of it. He had a lot going on in his life, aside from Jimmy. And now, what are they really going to do? How are they going to turn this around? I will say what I believe they're doing now, and I don't know this to be for certain, but what I think they're doing now is that they're going to be smarter about how they pick up the pieces post Jimmy Butler. Because you look at last year. Last year, they were making a decision because they had to. Jimmy was acting out. He was not trying. He was sabotaging the team. The guys couldn't focus. Everything just went completely downhill. But now, Jimmy's out of the picture. And the Heat, they have two foundational blocks, Bam and Tyler. And with Bam and Tyler, they do have a bunch of young talent. And with that young talent, I think they're trying to figure out what the plan is with those guys. Now, Heat fans don't want to hear what I'm going to say, but I think this is part of the plan. The Miami Heat, they're trying to get their house in order financially. You never want to hear that. Anytime, and not just in sports, anytime any business or company or person says, and the Miami Heat aren't saying this, I'm just thinking this is what their thought process is. But when somebody is telling you, well, let me figure out the finances here. Normally, you know, let me get my finances in order. That's not going to lead to something good. Normally. In some cases, sure. In this case, imminently, it's not going to be what a Miami Heat fan wants. Because a Heat fan, you look at the East right now, you're like, hey, let's win right now. But I just think the Heat are trying to get things in order financially. And the reason they're doing that is so down the line, when the next whale becomes available, somebody who they really want, at that point, they could be ready. That's just my thought. I'm not saying I'm right. I don't know that I'm right. But I'm just looking at everything that's going on. And that's what I get from it. You might wonder, Okay, so is this a rebuild? And that's a fair question. I would not say the Heat are tanking.
Tanking? What is not tanking?
No, they're not trying to be bad. They do have a roster of some very talented young players. We know Bam and Tyler are very good players, but they're not superstars. So you got Bam and Tyler who are very good, and then you've got young talent that you're trying to figure out if that talent will be good. That's not the standard for the Miami Heat. The standard for the Heat, you go all the way back in time, it was Timmy and Zoe, then Wade, then Wade and Shaq, then Wade, LeBron, and Bosch, then Wade and Bosch. I mean, think about these names here. Then Wade, Gorn, and Bosch, then Jimmy. At every point along the way, the Miami Heat had a superstar on their team, or at least very close to a superstar. And this goes back more than 20 years. So a Heat fan right now is like, meh, because the sex appeal of the Miami Heat, the wow factor of the Heat, is not there. It doesn't feel very high right now. They got a rookie point guard. They're high on him. They feel like maybe he's the steal of the draft, but he's a rookie. They like Ware a lot, but he's still a developmental project. They like De'Veon Mitchell. They brought him back. So there are quality players, but we're not talking about superstars. And right now, if you had a superstar on this Heat team, you look at the rest of the East. You look at their competition. Boston's a mess. Indiana's a mess. Milwaukee's a mess. Suddenly, the path through the East has gotten so much easier. But at this moment, at this exact moment that words are coming out of my mouth, the Miami Heat are not ready to strike. They're at a point where they're evaluating and they're developing young talent. What are they going to do with Wiggins? What value does he have around the league? What are they going to do with Scary Terry being not so scary? I'd imagine they try to get rid of him if they can. He has not been a very good fit. But somebody's going to have to want him. There's got to be some value in order for there to be a trade. And at this point, I don't know what the value is. I think the best case for this upcoming season, if everything goes right, will be something similar to 2004. That was the year before the Heat got Shaq. That trade happened in July. The Heat made the playoffs with a young team. You had Baby Wade, Lamar, Karan, Brian Grant. That team was a lot of fun to watch. And you saw the seeds of greatness being planted. That young team put forward a lot of effort. Heck, they made the Lakers say, maybe we should consider sending Shaq for some of what they got. And then with this team right now, you look at it, it's, again, something similar, a collection of young players. They could be fun to watch. Maybe they do have future greatness in them. I just feel like that's what this Heat team is going back 20 years. You know, they were hit hard by the departure of Jimmy Butler. And while they did get some value for him, they love Davion and they've got Wiggins. It's just that they weren't expecting all of that to happen. They didn't go into last year thinking, okay, this is going to blow up. Jimmy's going to blow up. We're going to have to get rid of him. It happened, and then they had to figure all of this out, And now it's like, okay, where are we going to go next? But they won't tank, like I said. Even if it leads to just another play-in tournament where they play Chicago for the 50th time, whatever it is, they'll do it. They will try for all 82 games on their schedule. Hopefully, though, it'll be something fun to watch while they're trying, because they've been living in the 20s when it comes to the rankings with points scored. They have not been exciting or dynamic on offense. And when you think about watching fun basketball, you think about a fun offensive team. Spo's one of the guys who started pace and space, push the ball quickly, spread out the floor. That was one of his concepts. What are the Miami Heat going to be able to do this coming season? I mean, it'll be here before you know it, but right now it's free agency, and I just don't see the Miami Heat doing anything at this point to get anybody excited. If you're a Miami Heat fan and you're complaining right now because NBA free agency, it's underway and the Miami Heat haven't done anything. They got rid of Duncan Robinson. They haven't made any big-time acquisitions, and you're complaining, I understand. I really do. You're used to the Miami Heat being a premier team in the league, and the last couple of years, they've been anything but that. Now, as I was explaining in the previous segment, you had the whole Jimmy situation go down last year. It was not expected. They trade Jimmy. They get swept badly by the Cavs. Now, you haven't really seen any offseason moves. So you look at the organization just a few days into free agency, and you're like, wow, this is boring. What are we doing here? And then at the same time, you look at how Panthers fans are. Panthers fans have been celebrating for the past 3 years. I know they didn't win the cup 3 years ago. They lost in the Stanley Cup final to Vegas, but they were in it. And then they win it, and then they win it again. The Panthers have had back-to-back parades. And then, after they just won their second Stanley Cup in a row, they re-sign all of their big guys. And you look at their roster, and their premier players are all locked up for like the next 4 or 5 years. So with the Panthers, it's big signing after big signing. And with the Miami Heat, it's nothing.
Nothing.
And not only is it nothing, it's nothing after doing really nothing last season. Unless you call getting in via the play-in tournament and then getting whooped, embarrassed at home by the Cavs, unless you think that is something, well, okay, but really, that's nothing. So here you have the Panthers winning big. They win the season, they win the postseason, they win the offseason, and the Miami Heat, they're not coming out saying this, but if you just see the transaction wire, which is blank, you know what it reads, like, hang in there. We'll get there, but right now, just hang in there. Maybe we'll have something big on the horizon, but just hang in there. Bear with us. Heat fans, you don't want to see that. You don't want to see, while you like the Panthers celebrating and their fans celebrating, and you're possibly a fan of both, you want your love, and your love could be for the Heat. You want to have some excitement in there. I know you've had it in the past, more than the Florida Panthers, but it's all about right now. You know, what have you done for me lately? And right now, you're just not feeling any love. What has to happen with this Heat team for Heat fans to feel some love immediately, as in this season, if they don't make any big acquisition, they just need to hope that their young guys take a step forward. Jaime Jaquez Jr., Jovich. Last year, they did not take a leap. If they don't take a leap this season, then what do you do? Are you even going to be able to get rid of them? Because right now, the Miami Heat were telling teams, apparently, no, we're going to keep these guys. So it needs to work one way or the other. When you got a big name out there in Kevin Durant, and the Miami Heat didn't want to part with their young pieces, well, then you better show some flash. It's not Jovich's fault. It's not Jaime Jaquez Jr.'s fault. It's not Ware's fault if they don't show flash. It's the front office's fault. It's just like when you draft somebody. We talk about this with the NFL draft. Somebody gets drafted first or second overall and they're not good. Is it the player's fault? I mean, if the player's not good, they're not good. It's the team's fault for drafting that player so high. So if some of these young guys don't pan out for the Heat, well, the front office, those are the ones that kept them and didn't want to give them up in a trade. And if that does happen, I know what fans are going to say. They're going to be livid. We didn't get KD because of this? That's what the Miami Heat are going to be judged on at this point. And you know what? They should. Because the Heat have set themselves up and they've been so hesitant to part with their prospects. And prospects, that applies through all of sports. If you're going to say, I'm not giving up a prospect for a great player because you're in love with your prospect, well, that prospect had better turn into something. Because to me, prospects are just like lottery tickets. Sometimes they're going to hit. And other times, you're just going to rip it up, throw it in the trash, do whatever with it. But you're not going to be able to cash it in. You try going to the cashier, they're going to say, scan here. Sorry. Loser.
The who? The her.
When you pass up a known quantity, a sure thing for a lottery ticket or a few lottery tickets, one of them better hit. Or you're going to look really stupid. For whatever reason, and I don't know the reason, the Miami Heat, they believe in their young guys. They believe in the guys that they've drafted the past few years, even if they haven't lived up to their potential yet. The way things are shaping up, that's what this is going to be this season. It's going to be a put up or shut up year. Fans don't want to hear it, but how else do you explain what's been going on so far? You heard what Pat Riley had to say? Oh, I don't plan on running it back. But take a look at what's gone on. Now, I know it's early, but I can only talk about what's gone on up until now. And then Dame is out there again. Maybe the Dame situation could be like the Victor Oladipo situation where he's coming off of a serious injury. Remember, the Heat took a flyer on Oladipo and then he got hurt again and that was that. Now, Dame might come back fine. The problem is he's an older guy and he's not going to be cheap. That would be a very expensive risk. The good news is the Heat don't have to make that decision today. They could see what happens with their young players. And some of those young players will be playing starting this weekend in the Summer League. The Heat have several young talented players, including their first round pick, playing in the Summer League. I'll have my eyes a little bit on the Summer League because, you know, there's a lot of guys who the Heat might count on come the regular season that will be playing in the summer league. Maybe there will be a mystery guy who we've never talked about. He'll pop up in the summer league. Then suddenly you get a two-way contract and you're part of the Miami Heat developmental program. Gives us something to watch, too. We got baseball and we've got the summer league. We're talking baseball. You don't want me to sing, do you? It's a lot better, a heck of a lot better, when I just play the audio instead, isn't it? I'm talking baseball. I was watching baseball last night. I was watching the Marlins. They went into last night's game on an 8-game winning streak. And I know they just played this afternoon, too. But I want to talk about last night because that 8-game streak, it was snapped by a dumb rule. If you didn't see it live, if you didn't see the replay, if you haven't heard about it, Kyle Stowers was up. The Marlins were down 2-1 in the sixth. He rips a base hit. It's going right to the outfield. It's just to the right of second base, like the actual base. No fielder is anywhere near it. There was a runner on second. He's going to score. But when the ball was going to the outfield, the ball nicked the second base umpire. The umpire could not get out of the way. And Stowers is only allowed first base. And the runner on second has to stay there. Cannot advance. The Marlins would have tied the game. I believe it was Jesus Sanchez on second. They would have tied the game. It would have been 2-2. Their winning streak would have still been alive. Again, 2-2. You don't know if they're going to win the game or not. But later on, they had a very aggressive send. The third base coach, I don't know what he was thinking. It was like desperation because of the dumb rule with the ball hitting the umpire, like barely even touching the umpire. It's not like the ball died or anything. The ball kept going. It just like nicked the umpire. It was a base hit. Just such a stupid rule. It makes no sense. Now, I bring this up because the Marlins have been playing well. If the Marlins were 25 games under 500, nobody would have even cared about this, including myself. Minervini talked about it on the post-game show yesterday. It was a big deal. It was the story of the game. The Marlins getting shafted. The rule just makes no sense. I understand the rule, but the rule is from like 50 or 100 years ago. Why should the Marlins get punished there because the umpire couldn't get out of the way on a clear base hit? That's on the umpire. It shouldn't be on the Marlins. It was a rocket into center field. The run scores easily. And the guy on second, Sanchez, can't even move up 90 feet. Like, what are we doing here in baseball? Now we have replay. Replay's been expanded. I'm the type, and I've said this in football for many years, and this really is about all sports. You should be able to review anything you want. If you have a certain amount of challenges, you should be able to use them for anything you want. And let's use common sense. Let's not use a rule from light years ago. Common sense. The Marlins would have tied the game. Umpire can't get out of the way, so the runner has to stay on second. It's just ridiculous. It's a ridiculous way to have that streak snapped. I don't know that they would have won the game, but the game would have been tied. They lost 2-1. They never scored another run. Now, will this Marlins team come even close to another 8-game winning streak, or was this the peak of the season that ended last night? This team is exciting, and they're young, and they do have some talent. I mean, you have to rip off 8 in a row. But will we look in September, will we look back at this and just remember it as a nice little run? Will we say, hey, how long was that winning streak again? Oh, yeah, it was 8. Like when they randomly won a bunch of games right after the Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup and before the Dolphins reported to camp? Or will it actually turn into something? And I hope it does turn into something. That's what I'm rooting for. I didn't think before the season started the Marlins would be anything at all, but now they've definitely caught my interest even more than usual. I watch a ton of baseball regardless, and I always root for the Marlins, but with the way their ownership has been, not spending money, we only got some joy out of them for a little bit a few years ago. Not talking about the COVID year, but the year they made the postseason and went to Philly. They didn't win that series, but at least they were in it. And speaking of being in it, you could be in my next poker tournament, the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, less than 2 weeks away in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Last month, we had more than $80,000 up for grabs. You guys have been coming out strong, and I hope to see you out there Tuesday night, July 15th, 12 days away. The buy-in is just $250. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. that night, Tuesday, July 15th. You could register until 9:30 p.m., so you got plenty of time to get there. Put a reminder in your head. Put the reminder in your phone. Maybe circle it on a calendar if you've still got one of those. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, Tuesday night, July 15th, in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. One more thing before my long holiday weekend starts and your long holiday weekend starts. I don't know how long yours will be, but mine will be long. I won't be with you Monday and Tuesday. I'm headed to Vegas on Saturday playing in a poker tournament, a big one at the Wynn. And then I'll be headed back to South Florida either Monday or Tuesday, depending on how I do in the tournament. But I'll be back on the airwaves with you guys on Wednesday. But one more word here for the long holiday weekend. Not only should all of you be safe and not do anything stupid, but that also includes all of our athletes in South Florida. The Marlins are the only ones playing. Everyone else is in their offseason. Training camp about to start for the Miami Dolphins. Hopefully everybody's just going to be getting into shape this weekend and not messing around with fireworks, not going to some crazy parties, not getting in trouble. I don't want to have to, even though I will if I need to, I don't want to have to give you a
Slater scoop
when I'm busy in the hot tub in Medellin with my friends. Girls. Like, let's just all enjoy the weekend, even though I won't be there this weekend, but I'll be there soon enough. All right, that's all the time I got for this Thursday. Be safe this weekend. I'll be back with you guys on Wednesday. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.